it's not been completely a new problem, I guess. You know, it's been out there in for a while, and they are really complex in their nature as well, you know, just like SMSFs, I guess. So there is all of the things that need to happen, especially around the trust distribution. And I've seen some very large workbooks that of our sort of early adopters and pilot users have shared with us.
You're listening to Australia's podcast for accountants, Tax Talks, the podcast to grow your firm.
Welcome to episode 273 of Tax Talks. This is Heide Robson, and thank you to Class for sponsoring this episode. If you look at the work done in your practice, chances are trusts, especially discretionary trusts, are the most labor-intensive entities, the ones where you have the least software support so far, and the ones with the most technical issues on a regular basis that require your time and expertise and inputs. So let's talk about trust reporting, the pain points, and how one software provider, Class, is trying to alleviate those pain points. Here's Angelique Farce of Class about the trials and tribulations of trust reporting.
Accountants right now are relying on multiple systems to try and sort of connect this process together around the admin of the trust, you know, doing all of the accounting. You know, they highlighted key challenges really started right at the start point. So obtaining the required information from the client is a real challenge. And then once they have that information, you know, that often they move to Excel spreadsheets really to manually try and reconcile income and capital gain. So it's all a lot of manual data entry that's happening there. Things like corporate actions, again, can often be really complex and time consuming and all need to be done. Well, if they don't have a software system for it, be done on Excel. And then the next step, you know, if they go to producing the financial statements, you know, most commonly they're using the big ledger systems like MYOB and Xero, which, you know, have more of an automation focus, I guess, for businesses and services. They really don't have as much support for investments that obviously Class has. So it's really disjointed, again, to sort of move it across into this ledger system. And then once they've done the financial statements, again, they move back to Excel to start working on the tax rec, which is also a very time-consuming process to try and understand, okay, well, what will be the accounting distribution, what will be the taxable distribution, and work out all of the amounts that need to go into the trust tax return.
I think if you think of a normal Australian tax practice that is reasonably automated, has either Xero or MYOB or QuickBooks as their mothership in the middle, and then has all sorts of apps plugged in from Practice Ignition to HubDoc or Receipt Bank, you know, all those quite common apps plugged in. When you then look at where most of the manual work is still happening, you know, where most of the Excel spreadsheets are still popping up, it's trusts.
It certainly seems that way. It's not been completely a new problem, I guess. You know, it's been out there in for a while, and we still have Class Portfolio as well to try and help with reconciling of the investment information, but it doesn't remove the process being disjointed. You know, that was really only one part of the process. And I think that was a real thing that accountants were looking for as well, that they had just one system that could do everything, and they could have a standard way of processing a trust. You know, everyone in the team, regardless of what office that they are in, they would all do it the same. You know, if a new accountant steps in the next year and has to take over the job, if they have to go through all of these spreadsheets to try and work out what happened last year, it's often that on its own would be really time consuming when, you know, again, with software providing all that history, setting in place rules, it's a really significant time saving. And again, just a standard way processing that.
I agree with you. What has been in the market so far was accounting for a portfolio of financial securities or a portfolio of real estate. There are software solutions there that do that, but then exactly it is disjointed. There's nothing really to then take it to the next step, to lodge the tax return, to work with the distribution, etc. And so then that is basically then done manually in Xero or Maya with manual journals.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I agree with you. There's a big gap there. And that's also, trusts are usually probably the most expensive type of entity you can choose when it comes to accounting fees. You know, usually the accounting fees for a sole trader or for a company are significantly lower than for a trust. And the reason is because the trust involves so much manual labor.
Oh, definitely. Yes. And they are really complex in their nature as well. You know, just like SMSFs, I guess. So there is, you know, a lot of need for the accountant to be across all of the things that need to happen, especially around the trust distribution and the knowledge around the trust deed as well. So,
streaming of capital gains, streaming of franking credits, all that is usually still done in spreadsheets.
Yes, yes. I've seen some very large workbooks that some of our sort of early adopters and pilot users have shared with us. And very complex.
So you had class portfolio for a long time that covers the accounting of investment returns. I mean, it's basically investment accounting.
Yes.
Did you have a lot of feedback from users that that is not enough? You know, where did the initiative come from to put significant investment into improving this software solution?
Yeah, so it really came from two directions. So we did, like I said, we were already aware of the problem for trust and sort of the significant opportunity that was out there in the market for trust. And that's why we added functionality in class portfolio specifically for some trust accounting about 4 years ago. And it was only a basic solution when it came to producing financial statements. They really weren't quite what people were expecting to see, you know, not really in line with industry standards. So we got feedback from existing customers that, you know, they really had to stop the process once they've finished reconciling the investments and then still had to use MYOB or Xero or APS to produce financial statements.
Yes, I agree. I was one of them.
Well, there you go. So yeah, so you would know about those financial statements. They really didn't quite meet what people wanted to see. And then at the same time, I guess from the other end, we had SMSF customers that weren't using Class Portfolio, but you know, they moved over to Class from other systems, and they were seeing all these amazing efficiency gains for their SMSFs, and they were starting to recognize themselves again. Well, actually, we have all these other entities as well that could possibly benefit from Class, and so they also sort of, I guess, created a driver for us to say, well, if you could provide a solution just as good like you have for SMSFs for trust entities, you know, we'll move those across as well and take them off all of our, you know, manual processes. So those were really the two big drivers for Class Trust, and that really initiated then all of the research that we did to get a really comprehensive understanding of the key challenges and sort of what sort of features people would be looking for. So from a market perspective, so we estimate there's about 1 million trusts operating in Australia and approximately 530,000 investment-related trusts. So it might be trusts that hold shares or manage funds or property or only have interest in related parties, and the second largest investment vehicle after superannuation. So certainly with, you know, the changes in super that have happened over the last few years, and you know, we can see that less SMSFs are being established every year, and with the compliance changes with caps and being introduced and TBAR, we also expect, as well as other industry experts, that the uptake of trusts is only going to grow bigger and bigger each time, and that they're going to be, it's almost going to be more of, I guess, a combined strategy where they have an SMSF and a trust. It's going to be more popular now because of all these, I guess, limitations introduced with how much wealth people can put into super, you know, that the trust becomes much more into the limelight as a sort of an attractive entity to add to it.
Automated is the process now for trust? Does it go all the way to lodging the trust return directly through Class Trust and then pushing that income into individual tax returns and then lodging those individual tax returns too through Class Trust? I can imagine the answer to the first question is yes and the answer to the second question is no. I can imagine you don't have the individual tax returns yet in Class, correct?
Yeah, it's still, you know, we only just launched. It was only a few weeks ago. So there's still quite a bit on the roadmap for Class Trust. So what it does at the moment is like, because we still have Class Portfolio and that still has a place in our product suite as well. But if you can imagine, Class Trust is basically built on top of the Class Portfolio product. So it's all these additional features that it provides. So it has all of the same automation that the Super and Portfolio product have. So we've got all of the data feeds, the income generation, you know, Class's corporate actions that are all automated for you. And it's it has all that same functionality. But what we've done on top of that is that from that point, then we focused on, I guess, the two next items, which were the beneficiary distribution and the financial statements. So for the beneficiary distribution, we really wanted to help with the compliance around that. And, you know, again, we were just looking at accounts going, well, what are they doing on spreadsheets? What are they tracking outside on spreadsheets? So things like knowing what the trust can and can't distribute was a key thing we looked at. So we wanted to automate a lot of that. So we know that the trust can't distribute capital losses. So we created automation for that. So if there's a capital loss in the trust, Class will obviously know because we get all the data feeds and we automate all of the CGT processing. It will just journal that capital loss to the capital losses reserve and then adjust the amount available for distribution. And then the next year, if there's a capital gain, Class will know what relevant amount it needs to take out of that reserve to offset the gain and again, adjust that amount available for distribution. There was also the unrealized gains, because with Class you have the option to carry assets at book cost or at market value. And we've seen traditionally accountants have always carried assets at book cost for trust, because it's already complex enough doing all this work on spreadsheets, you know, let alone then having to add on more work to try and calculate the market value for the trust. So we can see that a lot of them are at book cost, but
by carrying it at cost, you avoid just another difference between book and tax values.
Yes, exactly. But with Class, I guess there isn't any additional work required. So with Class, you can just flick yes. the option on and Classes all of the market value calculating for you. And the other thing that it provides is a tax accounting reconciliation. So you can easily reconcile that accounting income back to the taxable income too. So, and then at least you have a balance sheet that represents the true, position of the trust, which is just another bit of value that accountants can provide to their clients without really any extra effort.
Talking about distributions, I have two questions for you. The first one is the streaming of capital gains and franking credits automated in Class Trust?
Not yet, but it is certainly something that we are looking at the moment. So what it does at the moment, Class knows all of the components, again, because we calculate all of the income, you know, the franking credits, the Class calculates the capital gains, all of the other income. It's all calculated and it's all available in detailed reports. And you can produce a statement of distribution report from Class now. So that will show exactly the taxable components for each beneficiary. But at the moment, it is based on a proportional distribution. But we are, just as I'm speaking now, I'm seeing updates coming through about how we're going to support the income streaming, which will allow the user, you know, we want to make sure there's flexibility. We don't want to make it, I guess, too strict. So we want to automate wherever possible. But I think we need to allow some flexibility with the streaming, you know, specifically for the franking and capital gains components, so allowing users to be able to allocate certain amounts to specific beneficiaries to make them, I guess, specifically entitled to that part of the distribution.
And then my second question is, how does the distribution actually work? I can imagine in settings you would make a list of all the potential beneficiaries with or without the tax phone number, I assume. And then I can imagine for a particular year end, you would then open a window where you allocate the income based on percentages or fixed amounts to different beneficiaries. And I assume you then just have drop down menus with all the names, and then you just choose the relevant name and you then choose whether it's percentage or a fixed amount. And then you would just run it at the end as part of your year-end closing entries. You know, when you when in class for an SMSF, how you run the year-end entries, you probably then just do the same for the trust, correct?
Yes, that's correct. So that's really the key difference, I guess. When you look at the class application, you look at class super, you run a period update and then you go from there. But then the key thing is that once you do that for a trust, after that, you can post a beneficiary distribution. And then it depends a little bit on what type of trust it is. So we recognize that, you know, the majority of trusts are obviously discretionary trusts, but there's also a large number of unitized trusts, you know, that could really benefit from the automation that class provides, you know, especially around properties. And so we've added specific support for unit trusts. So you can add the unit holder quantity, you can add their contributed unit capital as well. And then when you do the distribution event for a unit trust, you won't need to do anything. You can just look at it because class will automatically calculate what the distribution is based on the number of units that each unit holder has as at 30 June. So that one would be really straightforward. You would just see it and you can submit it and all those numbers will flow through into the financial statements. But for a discretionary trust, so class, I guess it provides all of the numbers for you in an easy to see screen. So any retained profits from the previous year, you know, in the unlikely event there was any carried forward, then you have, you know, this year's profits, class will add those on. And then you have your adjustments. So we've got the capital losses that will automatically be adjusted from the income amount. We've also got the asset revaluation reserve for those trusts carried at market value. And then we've added another reserve that's called, we reference it as the trust income definition reserve, in case there's any clauses in the trust deed that require you to adjust the amount available for distribution. We've added that again to provide a flexibility. And then you're left with an amount available for distribution. And from there, you can put in the dollar amounts based on the trustee resolution, what each beneficiary should get. So all of those beneficiaries are listed and class will make sure that it all adds up to 100%. And then there's a lot of more workings, I guess, that it does in the background. So once you post that, it will flow through on the financial statements. But also, if there was any TFN withholding or anything like that, it just from there then automatically calculates all of those amounts and makes sure they go to the right beneficiary, populates that on the statement of distribution as well as the, you know, the full set of financial statements.
And so you have a period update and then you have a distribution update.
Yeah, so we call it, it's a period update, and then we call it a beneficiary distribution event.
Okay. And then do you now have a standardized chart of accounts for trust as you have for SMSFs?
Yes, exactly. So just like with our SMSF, we've got the standard chart for trust. We found that a lot of it is really quite similar in regards to deductibility of expenses and also the GST treatment. So we were sort of able to reuse a lot of our existing functionality for that.
Yes. And then, of course, thanks to the standardized chart of accounts, you then basically don't have to do no or very limited mapping of accounts to the tax return, meaning the chart of accounts can then directly link to the tax return and you can run, you get the tax return probably as soon as you've run the beneficiary distribution event. You then probably can view a tax return, which you then can lodge. You can lodge directly through class trust, correct?
Not yet. So that's something that's we're working on as well at the moment. But what you can do, because we're working, you know, in the agile methods that we use, you know, we're building on top of functionality all of the time. So what our objective was and what we wanted to achieve for launch is we wanted to make sure that users could process the trust on class. You know, it'd be really efficient, lots of time saving, obviously, with all of the automation that class provides. Do the distribution, again, save, easing that compliance part and reducing any risk of errors, and then produce financial statements that they would be really happy with. And then what we've done is we created some three key tax reports to assist with the final part of the process, which is the lodging of the tax return. So we've created the tax accounting reconciliation report. So that will just reconcile your P&L back to the taxable income of the trust. And then we've created, we call it a statement of net income report. And for those users that are familiar with class, they might have seen a statement of taxable income report for ISMSFs. And what that is, it's basically the whole tax return, but just not quite on the tax return stationery yet. So we'll have all of the amounts with their relevant labels. So it might say, you know, label 8R, this is the dollar amount. But then on top of that, you'll be able to run it in a detailed version so you can see exactly all of the events or transactions in class that have made up that amount. So from a review perspective, it's a real easy way to see that all of the amounts that are going to the tax return, where have they come from? They can also be reconciled back. And at the moment, the user would take likely that statement of net income report, as well as the statement of distribution report that I mentioned earlier that has all of the individual tax components for the beneficiaries, to then key that data into their own lodgement system just while we finish building our solution from class.
I think you basically have done 95% of the work. You already have the numbers for each of the fields. Hmm. It's just now to build the bridge, the data bridge to the ATO. I think you're closer than it might seem. But so then it means also that, of course, then Class Trust would run a report that lists the relevant income distributed to the individuals or to other beneficiaries, be it another trust or another company or whatever it is, lists yeah. those amounts, and they are then manually put into the relevant individual or company tax return.
That's right. And in part, we were also guided by our pilot users. So we had a fairly large group of pilot customers that we worked closely with, and we really wanted to make sure that our priorities were aligned with their priorities and really validate it, you know, wanted to validate that sort of quite regularly. And the feedback we got was that really the last part, the trust tax return, once I have the amounts, that part is not really that difficult. You know, it's a 10, 15 minute piece of data entry. And also some clients don't want to lodge on class, which is totally fine. You know, they want to keep their lodgement program on their own system. So again, for them, just having that report, it wasn't a huge pain point that we didn't have the lodgement yet. You know, for them, the big priorities were the processing, you know, being able to sort of process really efficiently. The financial statements were a really high priority to make sure that they met the expectation. We wanted to make sure that it really captured a wide range of use cases, and then those tax reports. So that's the pieces that eats up a lot of the processing time, the tax accounting reconciliation. You know, that can easily take, you know, maybe an easy job 15 minutes, but you could go 45 minutes or several hours with a more complex trust.
Do you have it on your to-do list to integrate with Xero? Because you can lodge trust returns through Xero. So if you can get the data fed into Xero, then you're fine as well. And I do agree with you. I can imagine that a lot of accountants just do all their lodging through one software so that they have it all together. Hence, data feed into Xero or into MYOB or QuickBooks would make sense. Do you know if you have that on your to-do list?
Yes. So that sits really together with the lodgement piece. So we recognised really early on, as soon as sort of we started the research, that there was a substantial number of clients that would prefer to keep their lodgement program on the single system. And it's also different for trust than it is for SMSFs. You know, you can more easily segregate all of the SMSFs, and so, you know, we lodge all of them on class. But with trust, because not every trust is suitable for class, you know, we could see that some people didn't want to break them up. But the number of clients that would prefer to lodge via class, you know, especially existing users of class that know the process for their SMSFs and find that really easy and much more efficient to do it all via class. So, you know, they certainly all want to lodge their trust via class, and that number is still a little bit bigger than the ones that want to keep it on the same system. So from a priority perspective, we want to finish our lodgement capability, and then after that, we will be able to integrate with, you know, certainly the two larger ones, and so MYOB and Xero. We're looking to have sort of a close integration with them for the lodgement system, because again, you know, on class, we don't, from an individual perspective, you know, we do have class portfolio. You can do the individual's investment reporting on there, but it doesn't have the lodgement of the tax return. And we can see that with Xero, I know Xero certainly does it. You know, they populate all of the statement of distribution for each beneficiary into the individual's tax return. So that might create a bit of a gap if you lodge via class. But we do have the report as well, obviously, but it would just mean a manual data entry from that report. So there is a really it is a really high priority, but even from a building perspective, it makes sense for us to finish it on our side first, and then we can just tack it on after that so clients can lodge on their own system.
Yes. Talking about the resolutions and statements you get with the trust, trustee resolutions, are they generated through class?
I know the trustee resolution, so that's where I guess where the Now Infinity piece really comes in. And, you know, we started on class trust before, well, we were already working on class trust when we acquired Now Infinity, and you know, that obviously made the product a really good fit, so we can make sure that the clients can do the whole process start to finish, including the establishment and then the ongoing admin with trustee resolutions. But it's still early days with bringing the two businesses together, so the integration isn't there yet. But again, we'll probably be looking to try and time it at the right time. So if we can time it to have an integration around the same time that they're due, Now Infinity, that would probably be the best way to do it, we think.
Okay, so the trustee resolution that you need before the 30th of June to distribute the income before the 30th of June, that resolution would be a document you have to buy through Now Infinity. That's not a class trust document that just comes standard.
Yeah, no, so it would have to be via Now Infinity. That's correct, yes. It's either that or clients can continue to use their existing solutions as well. I think a lot of clients probably are using Word documents or Excel documents, but it doesn't, Class Trust doesn't currently produce the trustee resolution. We'd probably, like I said, look to integrate with Now Infinity, but try and, you know, go beyond just populating amounts, you know, try and really make it a close-knit integration. So if you produce it from Now Infinity and then you go back to class to process the actual accounting part of it, when you're processing that distribution event, is making it a two-way integration, so class can just grab all those amounts and populate them all for you, so you don't need to do that manually in the interim. And from Now Infinity, I can't speak as much from that perspective because the focus has been initially really on like delivering the functionality from the class perspective. But even like things like deed clauses that are really important for the trustee distribution, you know, how can we integrate that part as well, so it comes through in class, so you can see that the deed allows the trust to stream, something, things like that, anything to help with the compliance perspective too.
Yes, that you basically go through the trust deed once and then you put into the software, okay, the trustee is authorized to stream. So you tick the relevant boxes to put the main parameters around the trustee's powers into the software so that the software can already help to act within the powers of the trustee.
Yeah, but that's all things, you know, that we think we can provide automation. I won't say that it's in the development as of yet, but, you know, there's a lot of opportunities.
Yes,
there.
Yes, of course. I am, if I may just say this, but I am really surprised that you plan to have the trustee resolution coming from Now Infinity, meaning there is a cost involved to it, because of course all documents you get from Now Infinity cost money, and I would have thought that the trustee resolution to distribute income is something so integral to the software that, yeah, it really surprises me that that comes basically from another app at an additional cost. I would have thought that should have come with the software, but
yeah, I totally get that, because even at the start when we first, I guess, laid out the priorities of what we thought we needed to build for Class Trust, and we were validating it with our research, and, you know, the trustee resolution was certainly something that we wanted to produce from class, but then, you know, the acquisition of Now Infinity happened as well. But it's still early days in regards to the integration piece, and I don't know, it might be bundled, it might all come together. I don't know if there will be a separate cost as of yet for clients, but we just from you know, we sort of project it forward, you know, when we see.
Yes, you didn't want to double up, because the documents coming from Now Infinity, hence the trustee resolution being a document, should also come from Now Infinity. So, because you didn't want Class Trust to produce some documents and then Now Infinity producing other documents, you wanted that streamlined. It actually makes sense now that I think about it. Distribution statements, would they come from Class Trust?
Yes, so that's that statement of distribution report that can be produced from Class Trust. So that will be automatically generated for each beneficiary, and it will use their distribution percentage to allocate their taxable component. So you'll have all of that detail from those, from that tax report, the statement of distribution, statement of net income, and tax accounting reconciliation report.
Awesome. So that means the accountant for the trust can then put an email in for each beneficiary and then send, or the accountant's email for that beneficiary and then send those reports to the beneficiary or accountant, so they have all the information about the income that was distributed to that person or entity.
Yes, at the moment you'd probably include it as part of your report pack. So it depends a little bit on how they want to use the report. You know, some of our clients just want to provide that statement of distribution report to the beneficiary so they can generate that and send out those documents just as they currently would from class, how they generate them, or if they want to email them or post them. Or if it's just an internal review report, that's another one of where accountants are just generating a work pack that includes that statement of distribution so they can then do the, then can grab that data and put it in the trust tax return.
That means financial statements are all ticked off in class trust.
Yep.
The reports are provided, but then the distribution has to be picked up manually in the relevant tax returns. And then the trust tax return is then also manually lodged to the lodgement software of choice.
Correct. Yes. Yes. So you'd really, I guess when you go from start to end with Class Trust, you obviously have all your data feeds doing all the data, and then Class does all of its smart things with those data to convert it to be ready for the period update. And then you process the distribution on Class, produce the financial statements, which have all been significantly enhanced for Trust, you know, so they have all of the distribution section on the profit and loss. You know, we've got really detailed notes now for the financial statements. They adjust if they're a unit trust or a discretionary trust. So a lot of enhancements there. And then, and then the last step is to use those reports all produced by Class, those specific tax reports, to finish off the tax return.
Yes,
in 0 mile.
Yes, and the accounting for the share portfolios and the property portfolios is probably identical to the way it's done in the SMSF software, correct? So you have the data feeds coming from distributors, data distributors, as you have in the SMSF software, correct?
Yes, yes. So we have all the same data feeds. So we went through an exercise of, you know, confirming with all of the providers that they would support trust entities as well. So we've got this all the same cash feeds, broker feeds, platform feeds, you know, the recently added tax statement automation. It all works regardless of the entity type. So it helps from a bulk processing perspective as well. So any of our firms that are, they are doing the daily admin of their SMSFs, they can easily pick up the trust as well because they exist in all of their same bulk processing consoles. So again, just driving efficiency and allowing the accountant to scale up as well. So we saw clients, you know, always sort of asking about, you know, what are you doing with trust? And they were saying, oh, we're sending clients away because it's just too much work to do the admin and it's just not worth it. And now with the solution that Class provides, you know, it gives them a real, I guess, comprehensive offer now that they can provide for clients with investment trusts and have a real efficient solution in place as well, so that the accountant's not stuck having to do it all manually in spreadsheets, you know, really see all the same, likely much bigger efficiency gains than they've even seen with their SMSFs.
Yes. Talking about the tax statement automation, I think that is where you have optical recognition of the tax statements. And I think it's tax statements for managed funds. And then you receive a tax statement at the end of the year. And so then you can scan that into Class and then have optical recognition that automatically picks up the data. Is that right?
Yeah, there's a few solutions in place for that. So it supports all of the tax statements for all the widely held managed funds, as well as, you know, ETFs, listed trusts. So Class tries to provide the actual tax statement ratios for all of those. We have a team that sort of receives all that data from fund managers or from customers. So we pre-populate a lot of those ratios, but where we don't have it or maybe we only have sort of the end of year ratio when there's been buying and selling during the year and we don't have each and every the distribution period, the client can also upload their tax statements, and then exactly then we'll use the OCR and populate that tax statement for you. So it's been a really significant feature that's created a lot of time savings for our clients.
The rollout of Class Trust, how many first adopters have you had? Because you basically, with the first adopters, you're still testing it to some extent, aren't you?
Correct. From the, when we first started with Class Trust, the approach was that we originally started with a really large firm that wanted to use us for their investment trust. They're one of the top five accounting firms. And we did a lot of the pilot work with them, a lot of closed workshopping with their accountants and capturing their use cases and examples and priorities. And then once we got to a point where we felt, okay, well, now at least, because that first focus was a lot around the financial statements. We got the financial statements to a point where the accountants are really happy with them. They weren't sort of having to manually adjust anything. Then we started to invite the next group of early adopters. We had about sort of five or six in that next group, making sure that we were validating, again, the priorities and the requirements like we had learned with the initial pilot customer. And then after that, when we started to work on the tax reports and added that sort of automation around the compliance of the beneficiary distribution event, we added a whole lot more adopters so we can really, I guess, have widespread use and make sure we capture as many scenarios as possible. So we ended up with almost 30, I think at the start, 30 firms that were early adopters of Class Trust. And obviously now that it's launched, it's growing every day, which has been really, really positive and great to see.
Okay, so you're out of the early adoption phase and you're now in the available to the general public.
Correct. So there's been really great feedback around, certainly I guess the first obvious thing is the time saving. So we saw we had some of our customers do really detailed analysis on the actual WIP of the account. So they tracked what the WIP was in 2018, and then when they did 2019 on Class, what the difference was. So it was really, really great to see the significant WIP saving that Class Trust provides. And again, now as we're getting, because the tax reports have only been released in the last few months, so it's again the feedback around how much time saving they provide has been really good. But I also often get corrected that it's, from especially by customers going, look, it's not really all about the WIP saving, even though that's nice, making sure we can have a bigger margin. Having a standard process has been a real key benefit, as well as, just the comfort that they know everything gets captured when it's on Class. There's no corporate actions that are missed. There's no holding that is missed or income that is missed, or, there's no errors because things are manually tracked. So that's been really, really great to see.
Yeah, but WIP saving already in the first year of a new software is impressive, because usually every software is usually a steep learning curve, and hence a new software usually costs more time in the first year than less time. So spending less time on it in the first year, that is very impressive.
Yeah, exactly. With the first year, certainly firms were not expecting to see any savings. They were sort of understanding that there weren't any data feeds yet and there was some setup required, but still, some trusts were more than 50% in WIP saving in the first year, like I said, without data feeds or anything like that in place. So it's, yeah.
But now you have the data feeds.
Exactly. So once we have the data feeds, it's only going to get better and better for these firms.
Yes, but you already have the data feeds, don't you?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, sorry, we have the data feeds, but for those trusts where they process them, they didn't have the data feed set up yet. So
yeah, because they were the early adopters.
Yes. So they just got all their trusts on Class, and then they did all the processing, and then they sort of set up the data feeds from the 20 financial years. So starting from 1 July 2020. So they all of this actually started 1 July 19. They started to set up all of their data feeds. But even without having those in place, even before those data feeds were up and running, they were seeing, those really significant WIP savings.
Oh, that's impressive, because that means that would increase significantly with data feeds.
Yes.
And then imagine once you have automated the lodging of tax returns either through class or by feeding it into Xero, then the time savings should be even greater.
Yeah, definitely. So once we have the full end-to-end process, you know, we really expect for the accountant to have a very highly efficient process that they can have for their trust, you know, and they can be really confident in the service that they provide for those entities and, you know, create a real scalable solution, which is, you know, not really possible at the moment where they use all those multiple systems.
Welcome back. So things are changing around trust reporting. The trust reporting in your practice will become more streamlined and less labor intensive with time. In the next episode, episode 274, Damien Lehman of NJF Lawyers will talk about director penalty notices. Until then, thank you for listening and thank you to Klaas for their support. Bye for now and see you in the next episode.